This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the show. We have another hour in front of us. Salutes Fan and Steel, 11:15, probably about 11:17 or 18 when we get to him to talk about City's 3-3 draw with Sporting Kansas yesterday. And at 11:30, John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, will also be live. We'll talk to him about the latest moves that the Cardinals have made and also this lineup that the Cardinals have set out in front of us. There are some changes to both the roster and the lineup. So let me begin with the lineup because that is newer. I mentioned it briefly before I talked to Doug Armstrong last hour. Yeah, we've had a lot going on. Earl Austin Jr. was on talking about Robbie Avila. I mean, we're going nuts over here. We're going absolutely nuts on this program, Sports on a Sunday Morning. So here's your lineup today, and you'll notice the change. Brendan Donovan's going to lead off and play left field. Wilson Contreras is batting second. The Cardinals catcher will bat second today. He is the catcher for Sonny Gray. Batting third is Lars Nootbaar. He will play right field today. The cleanup hitter is Nolan Arenado. In his usual spot, Arenado will bat fourth and play third base. The number five hitter is Paul Goldschmidt. Goldie has moved from two to five. He will back up Arenado. He will play first base today. Goldschmidt is batting 173 on the season. Alec Burleson is going to bat sixth and DH today. Batting seventh is Mason Wynn. He is the shortstop, hitting 321 this season. Nolan Gorman is in the lineup. He will bat eighth. He is hitting 178. So Gorman has been moved down into the eighth spot in the order. And Michael Ciani is the center fielder, batting ninth. So just in case you just caught that midway, here's the lineup today for the Cardinals. Big changes here. Donovan, Contreras, Nootbaar, left field, catcher, right field, respectively. Arenado, Goldschmidt, Burleson, third base, first base, DH. Wynn, Gorman, Ciani, shortstop, second base, center field. That's your lineup today with Sonny Gray on the mound for the Cardinals. He's 2-0 with an ERA of 0, 11 strikeouts, no walks, and 11 innings. Is that good, Drew? I think that's pretty good. Sonny Gray starting against the Brewers. Cardinals got roughed up yesterday 12-5. They have seen enough. They are making some changes to their lineup, and hopefully they can get a good start out of Gray again. After Michaelis got roughed up yesterday, Ollie Marmol explaining everything. You can go right now to our KMOX Sports Twitter page. You can go to the KMOX.com podcast page a little later. The whole show will be up there where you can hear all of his comments about this next thing, which is the Cardinals' moves that they made today in terms of their roster. They have optioned Victor Scott to Memphis. The AAA Memphis Redbirds are going to get Victor Scott, who hasn't played at AAA. I mean, he made the move from AA to the big leagues, basically. So it is going to be the option, Victor Scott to Memphis. He will play for them. And for the time being, Michael Ciani is your center fielder. Ollie telling us that Lars Nootbaar will see some time in center field, but it is Michael Ciani's job, sounds like, at least starting today. So he bats ninth and plays center field. He's a terrific defensive player. Did have a couple of hits yesterday. Pedro Pais has been called up. The catcher has been called up from Memphis for the Victor Scott move, and Pais becomes not only the Cardinals' third catcher, but he gives them an opportunity to put Ivan Herrera in the lineup more often. That, according to Ollie, and we speculated that certainly was the case. Herrera has looked great at the plate, so has Contreras. How do you get them both in the lineup and have a catching option if you need it? There's Pedro Pais. So there you go. And Contreras moves up to the number two spot in the order today. The Cardinals also made a pitching move. They optioned Andre Pallante to Memphis. The right-hander goes down. They want him to work on a few things, including how to get right-handed hitters out more often. How do they accomplish that? And they also are going to stretch him out a little bit, they said, Ollie said, to about 60 pitches. And you know, that's twofold. One, they can use him in long situations and stretch him out, but also they just want him more and more and more chances to get right-handed hitters out. We know he can get lefties out. The lefties, for multiple reasons, have a hard time picking up Pallante. They just have a hard time, especially those pitches in. And so they are going to get him to work on what has been a bit of a struggle here in terms of getting righties out. That is on his plate, and they've called up Nick Robertson. Robertson, the tall right-hander that they acquired from the Red Sox in the Tyler O'Neill trade, is going to come up to give them a fresh arm, as they've used a lot of bullpen arms here recently. So those are the moves. Again, it's Victor Scott and Andre Pallante option to Memphis. Recalled Pedro Pages, the catcher, and pitcher Nick Robertson. And again, those lineup tweaks, you've got Contreras batting second in the order today, and Goldschmidt fifth, and Gorman eighth. And in right field, you have Nootbaar, and in center field, you have Ciani. Left field is Donovan. So the Cardinals continue to mix and match their outfield to try to accommodate for lack of offense, but also for the injuries that they were dealt in spring training, with Tommy Edman never appearing and Dylan Carlson, when they went to Arizona, getting injured. So they've had to make some moves accordingly, and they have done that today. So that's all of your Cardinals stuff. And again, John Mozeliak is going to come up at the bottom of the hour to join us to talk a little bit more about that. We also heard from Earl Austin Jr. about Robbie Avila. You can hear that full conversation on our podcast page when that is up, as Robbie Avila, the Indiana State big man, officially committed to SLU yesterday. Earl had some great thoughts not only on him, but Josh Schertz's offense and the two recruits that Josh Schertz has brought in to the program. That's all there. Doug Armstrong joined us at 10:45, and we got into the coaching search a little bit. Drew Bannister is on the short list, and he is assembling a short list right now, and he doesn't really want to put a timeline on it. He wants to give it a little bit of time, and I think part of the reason for that is you probably have a coaching candidate or two that's in the playoffs right now. So you got to wait until they either get eliminated or until the playoffs are over. So it's hard to put a timeline on that. He didn't say that. I'm saying that. But, you know, there's a confidentiality involved in a coaching search for sure. But it looks like they have a short list of Drew Bannister, some maybe NHL experienced people, whether they're head coaches or assistants. It's unclear, but we'll see where they go from here with that. What a night last night for the St. Louis City SC organization. They went to Sporting KC, and what turned into what could have been a disaster turned into salvaging a point and getting a draw. A great outcome for them. Even though they did lose a lead, they did get an opportunity to salvage a point there. We'll talk to Lutz Fanensteel about it at length here in just a few minutes. And of course, we're not passing up the fact that 31,000 plus were at the Dome yesterday and saw the Battlehawks put a little whooping on Memphis. And before we get to Lutz, let me just say this, and I'll reiterate this in our final segment when we talk about the Battlehawks and just St. Louis as a whole. But a great showing on national TV, not just by the team, which is a really good team, but by the crowd. Half-filled dome, place was loud. Can't imagine what that's going to be like if the Battlehawks are in the championship game and that place is rocking. And, yeah, there's going to be a narrative. You just can't avoid it. The play-by-play broadcaster on ABC brought it up yesterday. How could you take football away from these amazing people? It's going to come up. It doesn't mean that we're still crying about it or upset about it. We've moved on, I think, for the most part here in St. Louis from the NFL and from Stan Kroenke. But it's omnipresent. I mean, it's the NFL. It's the biggest league in the country by far. And we don't have a team here. We're the largest market without a team. I still believe that's the case, largest TV market without a team. And it's going to be a topic. It doesn't mean that anybody is sour grapes over it or whatever.
Did you hear the rumors that the Chiefs might leave?
The Chiefs aren't going to leave Kansas City. Now, they may leave Jackson County, but they ain't coming here. I mean, that's not happening. The only way that we get a team here in St. Louis, I'm going to tell you how that would happen, is that you would have an owner that wants to move a team to St. Louis permanently that believes in St. Louis, has deep pockets, can pay for a stadium, and build right here, kind of like what the Taylors did with City. They moved in. They said, you know what? We believe in the city, and we're just going to get this thing done. Now, you also have to have the NFL would be willing to come here, and the fact that we sued them and settled for $790 million probably does not sit well with the league, nor does the NFL sit well with this city. So for right now, I got to tell you, for an ego hit, it was tough, but I certainly enjoy my Sundays. I love the NFL product. I think it's great. I don't trust the NFL leadership, meaning owners, and the guy that works for them, Roger Goodell. And I like Sundays. I can breeze in, breeze out. Watch a game, go do things with my kids. Watch a game, go play golf with my buddies. Watch a game, do a little yard work, go have a beer, keep track of my fantasy team. Don't have any rooting interest in any team. It doesn't, or Sundays never hurt. They're always great. I'm having a good time. However, if an owner wants to bring an NFL team to St. Louis, I am more than willing to listen because it was fun, and it is so much fun to see the football fans having a blast down at the Dome. And the Battle Hawks are great, and you should go see them. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Lutz Fahnenstiel, St. Louis City SC. He's going to join us in a couple of minutes.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's right here on KMOX.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Ball gets outside. Totlet, he's loose. He's into the box. Oh, Lord, he shoots! He's
yes!
Oh, baby! Thomas Totlet burst through! We're tied in threes with a minute left! They celebrate! Jubilantly in the corner! Thomas Totland!
Woo! Somebody check on Joey Zanaboni to make sure that voice is okay this morning. What a call on Y98 FM as City ties it. They get the point with Sporting Kansas. And joining us on the line is the sporting director for St. Louis City SC, Lutz Fahnenstiel. What a thriller of a game last night, Lutz.
Yeah, definitely exciting, you know, in a very interesting finish as well. Lots of goals. Result okay, but, I think it was one of these games where we played well enough to win it, and we just made a few mistakes where we got punished for immediately, and then in the end, it's always good for the whole atmosphere to pick a late equalizer. It just was a great sign again of the mentality of the boys. And yeah, we knew that Kansas is a good team. We knew that we had a little bill open from last year, of course, with the playoffs. And it was exactly the game we thought which will come. And yeah, definitely an interesting one for all the fans.
Yeah, equal amounts of elation and frustration, I would say. Again, you come out with the point, but you just sort of alluded to it there, is that there was a lead. You got that lead, and they were able to get it back. How did they get it back?
You know, I thought, I think let's start with the positives. I thought once we went 1-0 down, we had really had played a great first half. We created chances already before we scored. Klaus, who had an amazing game yesterday, worked hard, created chances, was involved in basically everything attackingly, got into great positions as well, and then Stelio taking the lead with that stunner, I would say, that screamer. I think we had really a good first half, and we came out. We had another one just directly after halftime with Thomas Ostrog, where we could have really hurt them. And then somehow a bit of a freak goal, I would call the second one, and not really watching out for the moment of putting Eric Tommy offside for the third one. We put ourselves in trouble for that one. And again, we believed in ourselves. We came back. Normally, when we are 3-2 down after 77 minutes, I'm jumping up and down like a madman. But yesterday, for some reason, I felt really calm. I somehow had the feeling we still can come back, and that we waited that late was, of course, not good for my nerves. Having Thomas Totland actually scoring that goal was for me, personally, something special, because since the kid is here, you know, he gets better and better every week. For me, the best right back in Major League Soccer at the moment. And then for him to get that first goal for City in such a surrounding, in such a moment, and most important, Tom, our fans. I mean, you know, this whole stadium, the half stadium was City red. It felt like a home game. I mean, it's already at the warm-up. So for Thomas to score in front of that crowd in such a big derby game, yeah, I couldn't be any happier about that one.
That is amazing. I mean, it was one of the best finishes you have had since you've been here, and one of the best first halves that you've had since you've been here. And it was a remarkable contest. It really was. What a pass, by the way, to Klaus. Are you kidding me with that pass? I mean, how does that happen? That is amazing, the feed to Klaus.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Klaus was yesterday, I think, for him, we felt it, you know, and we spoke about it. Remember last week I called it that he will score a goal on Saturday. I said I had a feeling. I told you I have a feeling he will score. He did score the winner last week against Austin, and you felt it after that game. You felt it during the week in training that his confidence is just growing. I think the hardworking Klaus, the creating Klaus, was always there, but the scoring Klaus is back now, back in the city. And that's great. And, you know, a Klaus in top form is a nightmare to play against for the opponent. And that's what he showed yesterday for 90 minutes.
You did outshoot them, in fact, by a sizable margin. The last two matches, you've outshot your opponents 31-9. You outshot them 20-7 on the night. What did you think of Berkey back there?
Didn't have much to do yesterday, but then again, it was a game for a goalkeeper, which is not always easy. The first shot on goal, Polito goes in, no chance there. And then you're not really getting tested too much. And then the second and the third one was goals where the non-football fan would look like, well, the ball falls right there. He has a touch, but that was a very difficult ball, Tom. So I don't think we have to put any blame there on the captain. I thought he kept it very calm and he played a very decent game. It just was one of these games. You get 3-4 shots on goal and 3 going in. That's always a game a goalkeeper hates, but we know what we have is Roman, and Roman played a solid game yesterday, and that's what it's all about.
Last thing before we go, a bye week now, so a chance to heal up a little bit before you go down to Houston?
Yeah, getting in some little break and some good days of training, I think, you know, to work even more with the ball, to work even more on the defensive shape. It's still early on. We still only have lost one game, but we want to win more games, of course. And Houston, which kicked us out from the Champions Cup, we still have an open there one as well. So looking forward to go to Texas again and put the cowboy hats on and hopefully get something out there.
We appreciate it very much. Thank you very much for joining us. As always, we love visiting with you. 12 points for City, their sixth draw of the season, 3-3 with Sporting Kansas. Thank you.
Have a nice Sunday.
You too. Lutz Van and Steele, Sporting Director of St. Louis City SC. Always great to chat with him. City right now tied with LAFC and Austin FC for what is sixth place in the Western Conference, but it's very tight. They are 4 points behind the leaders, Vancouver. We'll take a break. When we come back, John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, joins us live. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX, sponsored by Graybar.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Very busy show today. Visited with Ollie Marmol, as well as Earl Austin Jr., Doug Armstrong, and Lutz Vandensteel. All joined us live, as does this gentleman, John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations. Always makes the effort to be with us at 11:30. Thank you for that. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well, thank you.
Busy day with the organization. I know that. We went through some of this with Ollie last hour, but I wanted to get your thoughts first and foremost. Let's go with the transactions that you announced today. Victor Scott has been optioned to AAA Memphis. Let's start there and get your reasoning behind that move.
Yeah, I don't think it's to the surprise of anyone. Obviously, you know, when we were finishing up spring training, when the injury happened to Dylan Carlson, we just wanted to make sure that we had a lot of defensive protection, you know, knowing full well that you know, in Victor's best interest, he's out playing baseball every day and getting his at-bats. The major league level is a very, very difficult level to try to learn. And you know, I think, you know, we were seeing him and we just felt like we weren't doing him any favors anymore. And as you know, we are looking for offense and we're trying to find it in many different ways. And certainly didn't want to just keep adding pressure to him to put put him in a position to just be working every day. And so he'll get that opportunity in Memphis. We're still, you know, uber excited about the talent and what we have in this young man. But, you know, clearly there's some growing pains from the offensive standpoint. Now he'll get an opportunity to do that. And by bringing up Paz, what that really does is allow us to get Herrera and Contreras' bats in the lineup and not worry about losing a catcher.
So Herrera, who has looked great at the plate, and Contreras, who's going to hit second in the order today at catcher, and Pajes becomes that third catcher. And then the pitching move that you made, Andre Pallante is optioned to AAA Memphis, and Nick Robertson is recalled from Memphis, Mo.
Yeah, a couple thoughts on that real quick. Obviously, in Pallante's case, he threw a lot of pitches yesterday, so he wouldn't be able to pitch for a few days. So we just thought we'd bring up Robertson, so we have some protection in our bullpen. And then, you know, as we look at really Pallante as well, figuring that we can keep stretching him out and he'll get opportunities to start down in Memphis. And I think that'll just give him some consistent work on some things he's trying to get better at and be more consistent with. And so, you know, I think he actually saw this as a good move for him. And nobody likes to get optioned. I understand that. But he also understands that the way things are going, he needs to make some adjustments.
Yeah, and Ollie told us that Victor's response was very positive. I mean, obviously, he's a young guy that needs to work on his game. Nobody likes being optioned, but I think he understood too, didn't he, about what he needs to do.
Well, I think, like, you know, I've been at this a long time, and I've done your show a long time, and you know, the one thing I've always, like, tried to pride the Cardinals at is, like, you're not going to take a young player and have him just come up here and sit. And, you know, the window of a playing career is short, it's small. And so allowing guys to really work at their trait is probably the most important thing. And, you know, in his case, trying to develop as a hitter at the major league level is really challenging. And so let him go down to Memphis, let him catch his breath, and hopefully really have a growth spurt in that from an offensive standpoint. And, you know, at some point we'll see him again. But, you know, he's an incredible talent. But, you know, Ollie was going to find it harder and harder to get him in the lineup, and that's not good for him moving forward.
Now, I remember you and I talking about Victor and the possibility of him maybe starting in Memphis, and you bringing up Jordan Walker. And while it wasn't the same situation, you had some care involved here, because when it came to Jordan Walker, you wanted to make sure you didn't rush things on him too quickly. Now he's at the stage where he is still in development. He's very young, but you do need him, don't you? Where do you see Jordan Walker right now?
Yeah, I think a couple thoughts on that. One is I feel like from a defensive standpoint, he did make a couple real positive steps in that regard. I think he's a lot more comfortable in the outfield. I think from an offensive standpoint right now, he's sort of caught in between, and, you know, takes the fastball, swings at the slider away, and it's, you know, he's got to break the pattern. Obviously, when you look at our offense collectively, it's not where we envisioned it. And, you know, it's tough because when you have sort of the anchors of your team, not going at full throttle, from a typical performance standpoint, then it just puts a lot more pressure elsewhere. And you're seeing it right now with our club. And, you know, I think everybody involved is frustrated. We know it, but we also know we're capable of being better. And so we just have to be patient. And that's a hard thing for fans sometimes to hear, but there's no magic elixir where we can just, you know, drink it or sprinkle it on ourselves and get ourselves going. It's just going to be a matter of, guys getting their timing right, and hopefully we can get back to where we are as productive as we think we're capable of being.
Sure. It's a season of adjustments, and it's over 162. Gorman qualifies as one of those important players, too. Where do you see him in that regard, in terms of trying to adjust his game?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I'm stating the obvious here, but, you know, there's just a lot of swing and miss going on. And, you know, these guys, when you think about, like, what you envision their production to be, it's in Gorman's case, we're just not seeing it. You know, the one thing about Walker a year ago was he wasn't afraid to take a walk, so he really had a great understanding of his strike zone. And, you know, I feel like right now, though, we tend to be more like chasing hits instead of just staying within ourselves. So, as I stated, it's just going to require some patience. I promise you and all the listeners, they're working extremely hard to get themselves out of where they are. And, you know, hopefully today's the day.
Paul Goldschmidt has made his way to fifth in the order with Contreras second. Gorman is going to bat eighth. Just another adjustment that Ollie Marmol makes to his order to try to get something jump-started. That's what you see there, don't you? With Newt Barr and Wright, a lot of changes to today's lineup.
Well, I think that, you know, one guy that's taken some pretty good at-bats for us lately, when you really think about it, is what Burleson's done. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, trying to get his bat in there, especially when you're facing a right-hander, is, you know, makes a lot of sense. And you know, ultimately, I think, you know, given the way our offense is going, yeah, I think, you know, we do have to try to do things a little differently, and you're going to see that today in that lineup.
I told Ollie that I get poked fun of sometimes. I get teased sometimes for being the eternal optimist, but I was on a radio show yesterday and they started off. They said, tell me something positive, Tom. So let's start with something positive. Let's see. I said, I'll give you something positive. I said the starting rotation has gone out and done what they asked it to do. For the most part, they have put together innings, and they've given this offense the opportunity to win games for them. It just hasn't happened. And then lo and behold, what happens right after I say that? Miles Michaelis gives up three bombs. Offense scores five. Cardinals can't get the job done. But am I correct there? For the most part, what you envision starting pitching, is that coming through?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, obviously yesterday was a hiccup. And probably the first game we played all season that we really weren't in it. You know, at some point it felt like, okay, this is, you know, a tough game. And you know, for the first four innings, it seemed like the game was going just as we had hoped. And then, you know, then it just sort of blew up on us. But, you know, overall, I feel like our pitching's done a really good job. Starting pitcher has given us a chance to win games. And that's all you can really ask. And, you know, like I keep saying, hopefully today's different. Get ourselves back in the winning ways. And to do so, you know, it usually means you're going to have a good outing by your starter. It means your bullpen's strong and you get those timely hits.
Before we go, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about Whitey Herzog, and you talk about someone who would tell it to you straight. Now, I'm certain you had some conversations with Whitey. He sugarcoated nothing. He watched that team constantly, and even when his health was not good, he could still speak sharply about the club. But just his overall body of work, what a legend. How grateful are we, Mo, that we were able to spend 34 years with Whitey Herzog after his managerial career?
Well, like I've stated this a lot when people ask me, like, you know, what do I remember most about Whitey or that relationship? And, you know, I've been around a lot of, like, really talented baseball minds, but, you know, he's right up there with you know, being a savant of the game and just – really looked at it through a different set of lenses I don't think most of us have the ability to do. And so learning from him and speaking with him was always, you know, something I cherished because I knew it was not everybody got that opportunity. And yes, he could be candid. Yes, he was very transparent in how he spoke, but he was also, like, you know, very kind. And, you know, every now and then he would reach out to me and, you know, just tell me to keep my head up and, you know, we're doing the right thing, or, you know, just would give you that sort of, like, you know, pat on the back or make you feel like, okay, the world's not ending. It is baseball and we'll get through this. And so, you know, I always appreciated, you know, spending time with him, speaking with him about the game and always admired how he handled himself and carried himself. But, you know, the relationship I had with him was one that, you know, if you weren't feeling great, he'd always make you feel a little better, and that was always nice to be around.
Yeah, very, very special friend. That's very well stated, and he had such respect for what we all did, from your job to the manager to the players to the fans. He got it, and we miss him dearly, but we're very, very grateful. Mo, thank you for this. Always great spending time with you on KMOX. Good luck today with Sonny Gray starting against the Brewers.
Thank you, Tommy.
Good to talk to John Mozeliak. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll recap the show, and boy, have we had a lot going on. There's a lot of news and information, opinions, and a lot of sports. There's no doubt sports on a Sunday morning hits at the right time, 10 to 12 leading into Cardinal baseball. In case you missed anything, we will take you through it. Our guests, our commentary, it is next on KMOX. Welcome back. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. In case you missed it, we have been loaded with guests. We have had all kinds of news left and right and reaction to what has happened. First, the Cardinals did option Victor Scott to AAA Memphis today, along with Andre Pallante. They have called up Pedro Pajes, their catcher, and reliever Nick Robertson. Here's Ollie Marmol with me, the first reaction on Victor Scott to Memphis.
Love Victor Scott, and this move is more so for his development to get everyday at-bats in AAA. Was able to sit with them this morning and kind of talk through how he's feeling and what he feels he needs to do in order to get on track. And, man, what a his demeanor and personality is awesome, Tom. I mean, it was a really good conversation. And in his words, he said, listen, I need to get real at-bats underneath. I need to get down there and get to work and feel like I can get some ownership over some things and get back to spraying the ball and hitting line drives and using the short game and being able to bunt and do some things defensively as well.
John Mozeliak joined me about the Andre Pallante move.
In Pallante's case, he threw a lot of pitches yesterday, so he wouldn't be able to pitch for a few days. So we just thought we'd bring up Robertson so we have some protection in our bullpen. And then, you know, as we look at really Pallante as well, figuring that we can keep stretching him out and he'll get opportunities to start down in Memphis. And I think that'll just give him some consistent work on some things he's trying to get better at and be more consistent with. And so, you know, I think he actually saw this as a good move for him. And nobody likes to get optioned. I understand that. But he also understands that the way things are going, he needs to make some adjustments.
Cardinals are trying to find some offense anywhere they can, the middle of the order. Some of them have struggled, and they've found, well, Nolan Gorman now in the eighth spot after giving him a day off yesterday. The fifth spot will belong to Paul Goldschmidt, moving down from two, where Wilson Contreras will hit today. Victor Scott, as you heard there, moved out. His offense needs some work. And quite honestly, for the most part, that's been the issue with this Cardinals club. Jordan Walker struggling at the plate, et cetera.
I feel like right now, though, we tend to be more like chasing hits instead of just staying within ourselves. So as I stated, it's just going to require some patience. I promise you and all the listeners, they're working extremely hard to get themselves out of where they are. And, you know, hopefully today's.
Cardinals hoping that today is the day for Sonny Gray, get him some run support and have both things happen simultaneously. Great pitching, great offense. It all came together for St. Louis City SC in the final minute. They were down 3-2 after trailing 1-0, making it 2-1 City, falling behind 3-2. Call on Y98 FM last night.
Ball gets outside. Totlin, he's loose. He's into the box. Oh, Lord, he shoots.
Yes!
Oh, baby! Thomas Totlin bursts through. We're tied at threes with a minute left. They celebrate jubilantly in the corner. Oh, Thomas Totlin!
My daughter asked me today, how do you not laugh when you hear those calls? How do you not break? I said, I'm a professional, Erica. But I just laughed actually off the air. It's such a hilarious and fun call from Joey Zanaboni. Here's Lutz with me moments ago.
When we are 3-2 down after 77 minutes, I'm jumping up and down like a madman. But yesterday, for some reason, I felt really calm. I somehow had the feeling we still can come back, and that we waited that late was, of course, not good for my nerves. Having Thomas Totland actually scoring that goal was, for me, like personally something special, because since the kid is here, you know, he gets better and better every week. For me, the best right back in Major League Soccer at
Lutz
the moment.
Lutz Vandensteel, sporting director, St. Louis City SC, with me, along with Ollie Marmel and John Mozeliak, and Doug Armstrong, the general manager of the Blues, was on the show today, updating us on his coaching search.
My inner circle, we started to put a list together of experienced coaches, non-experienced coaches, outside-the-box thinking coaches. And as Drew kept continuing to show us what he could do, that list got smaller and smaller. So we're down to a very few number of people that we have interest in.
You can hear these full interviews at KMOX.com and on our Sports on a Sunday Morning podcast page, as well as on the KMOX Sports Twitter account. They are pumping those audio clips out and directing you back to the full interviews. We spoke to Earl Austin Jr., the Billiken Hall of Famer, the birthday boy celebrating today, and we asked him about the newest announcement, and that is that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar himself, Robbie Avila, the terrific big man, 6'10", from Indiana State, is officially coming to SLU to play with his old coach, Josh Schertz.
He's kind of a hub of your basketball team because, like you said, he's just so skilled. Like you said, if you watch Denver and Jokic and the way he just dictates a game, Robbie's got that similar ability. So he can stretch the floor with his three-point shooting. He can also, like I say, back it down with his big body and get buckets. But what sets him apart, obviously, is his court vision. I mean, he's a tremendous passer. And he hits you on backdoor cuts. He can, you know, little handoffs. And he just has a good high basketball IQ about himself.
Earl Austin Jr. on Robbie Avila. Meantime, college basketball was at its peak on Wednesday at the Missouri Athletic Club in downtown St. Louis. We had some big names in the house. Josh Schertz was there to visit with some of the titans of the game. You had in the house the men's coach of the year, Kelvin Sampson from Houston, the women's coach of the year, Dawn Staley from South Carolina, the undefeated national champions, 11-time national champion, Hall of Famer Gino Auriemma was at the downtown MAC over this past week, and Roy Williams, the 3-time national champion with North Carolina, visiting with me.
That 97 team that I had at Kansas was a great team, and that's still a void that I couldn't get those guys, didn't get those guys. Jared Hess, got hurt for us in 97, but Ryan Robertson was fantastic for us, a St. Louis guy. So I've had a great time and brought back a lot of great memories.
Do you think about that a lot then? You think about that?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, at times like this when you're being honored and, you know, I didn't know what an honoree was going to do, you know, when I was contacted to do this, and I thought, geez, this is pretty good. And I asked Wanda if she wanted to come, and she said no. And I told her Barry Henson was talking, and she said, between you and Barry, I know I don't want to be there. So so it was a neat deal. But she's getting some things ready for this weekend with our grandchildren.
Big KMOX guy, by the way. When you were recruiting, driving around as the coach at Kansas, you told me you listened to our radio station. You were connected to St. Louis back then.
When I was a high school student, I had an old radio that my uncle had given us. It was 150 years old. It was probably the first radio ever invented. But it was amazing that I could get stations all over the country. And I was in Asheville, North Carolina, listening to KMOX baseball and basketball games. And so coming to St. Louis and recruiting, and St. Louis, Detroit, Michigan, and Phoenix, Arizona, my three favorite cities in the whole United States. But St. Louis in this area has been very special to me.
Yep. That is Roy Williams, who won his first national championship here in St. Louis at the Dome in 2005. Speaking of the Dome, what a scene yesterday with the Battlehawks winning 32-17 over Memphis. We talked about it at length here on the show and what that means to the city. And I'll close with this. We've spoken so much about Whitey Herzog. One of the things about Whitey Herzog you might not know is that he was a huge sports fan beyond baseball. I mean, he had incredible interest in everything that was going on. And anytime I visited with him, he wanted to know, as a big basketball fan, what was the latest in college hoops? What was the latest in college football? He asked me one time about NASCAR and what's happening over at Worldwide Technology Raceway. We are going to miss Whitey for many reasons, one of which he was a great ambassador for the city. This is KMOX.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.